All right, let's take our Bibles once again and look in 2 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 15 down to verse 23 and speak to you about foolish counsel. What is foolish counsel? Even as we read in Colossians chapter 2, how we're to beware of being beguiled. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, and verse 15, it says, "And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him." This would be within hours of how the Lord directed David out of the city. In fact, the place where David went to dwell would have been just within a mile to 3 miles from Jerusalem. So not that far. So you can picture this as David, the Lord is ushering him out. Absalom is in a rush to get there. Such was the hatred that Absalom had even for his own father that he would have killed him could he have had that opportunity. And so again, in this we see a type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and the hatred of sinners against him. The scriptures say he came unto his own received him not. Now, if we've been taught of the Spirit of God, we understand what is that hatred. And we own readily, because of the Spirit having taught us of our own sin nature, we own readily that that very hatred was in us. Those that crucified the Lord represent me and my nature against him. But left to yourself, you don't know that that is rebellion. Absalom was justifying himself all along in what he was doing. He felt it his right to take that throne and went to claim it. But just like in Christ's day, they couldn't lay a hand on the Lord Jesus Christ until it was his time. It was when God determined. That's what Christ said when they came to get him in the garden. Now is your hour. With regard to Absalom, he never was able to lay his hand on his father. In fact, he ended up dying himself in the pursuit. And even as this one here in verse 15, where it says, "And Ahithophel with him," Ahithophel ended up committing suicide by the time this is all said and done. The Lord will always bring back upon foolish men the very judgment that they would have toward others, toward anybody else. They dig the pit and then the Lord caused them to fall in the pit themselves. Just like Mordecai and Haman, it was for Haman, it was for Mordecai and for the Jewish people that he built those gallows. But in the end, he ended up being hung himself in those gallows. And for whom Esther was the representative, picture of Christ again, going in before the king. So all of this is important to understanding how foolish counsel is. But what we're going to see, because you wonder sometimes, people do, they say, well, if God's purposing his will, how come there's all this going on in rebellion? That's the Lord. He gives men just enough rope to hang themselves. And that's what we see here. It came to pass in verse 16 when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, "God save the king, God save the king." Now you read some commentators and they lump Hushai right in there with Ahithophel. And they say that Hushai was a compromiser. But remember that Hushai had originally followed David out of the city. And David told him to go back into the city to be his eyes and ears and to disrupt the counsel of Absalom against him. So think of a spy in a war. where now the enemy doesn't perceive that you're really working for the other side. And so what you say to the enemy is pleasing to the enemy for a while. You're not working for the enemy, but it seems as if you are. And I love the thought that the Lord gave me here, such because it says here, David's friend. That's not put there just for any reason. It's letting us know as we're reading this story that Hushai was not the same as the rest of them, although he might appear that way. The same word was used back in 2 Samuel 15. And this is where I want us to remember going back in verse 32. It came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. Not that he didn't want Hushai with him, but he would be concerned not only for himself now, but for his friend. And that's why in verse 34 of 2 Samuel 15, but if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king. So when it's saying here, God save the king, he's doing exactly as David instructed him to do. Much like Rahab protecting the spies. When they came, and I've heard people say, well, Rahab lied, she shouldn't have lied, all of this. No, she was doing exactly what God put in her mouth to say to protect those spies. So when they came searching her house and she hid them, she said, they've gone that way. And then when they all went pursuing that way, she let the spies down so they could go their way. Who's going to condemn her for doing exactly what God directed her to do? Who's going to condemn Hushai here for doing exactly what David instructed him to do? This shows his allegiance to the king. We might not be able to always explain why we do what we do, but when we take our direction from the Spirit of God and it is for the glory of Christ, then that's what is honor, is to God's glory. Tell Absalom, I'll be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant here too, so will I now also be thy servant. And here it is. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. That's the only reason we find Hushai in here doing what he's doing. So let's don't forget that this is being directed. And when Hushai understood what that mission was, and you have to understand it was with great risk. Because at any point, if he had been discovered to truly be David's friend at this particular time, he would have been executed. I liken it to people that live in countries where it is not legal. And you could lose your life for meeting a place of worship just like here. I think we take our freedom for granted when we say, well, I'm going to go to worship. We hop in our car and we drive here and we sit down. All right, catch you next time. Think about places where it's under threat of death that people even dare gather in two or three, where it's they've been told, if you gather, you will be arrested. If you want to go back and read the story of the catacombs back in the early century, where people literally that confessed Christ had to live out in caves and still go out and go into the market. They were living a life under the radar, so to speak. And many times had to say things that if you looked at it on the surface, well, that's a lie. But why were they saying what they were saying? It was for the glory of Christ, not to identify with those that were pursuing. I love the story that I heard and read years ago. It's always stuck with me in one of these communist countries where there were a group of believers meeting in someone's house. But on the way, there were these barriers where the soldiers would stop and ask them what they were doing, check their papers. This one lady was on her way to worship. And the soldiers stopped her and said, "Where are you going?" She had said, "I'm going over here to worship with some believers that love Christ." And they would have said, "Well, you need to take us there because we're going to take you all and kill you." And the Lord gave her some wisdom. That's why even here with Hushai, when he said to Absalom, "God save the king, God save the king," I truly believe in his heart, he was thinking of David. All the while Absalom was thinking, he's lining up with me. He was thinking of David. Just like this lady, when they asked her, she said, "Well, we've had an elder brother that has passed away. He's died. And we're going to hear the reading of the will." They said, "Well, we're so sorry to hear that, but on your way." You could say, "Well, she didn't really tell the truth." Yes, she did. Who's our elder brother that's died? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the reading of his will? What we're reading right here. That's a beautiful story. So when I read this in 2 Samuel 16:16, "God save the king! God save the king!" Absalom's here and he's talking about me. I truly believe, because it says there, this was David's friend. And it's going to prove as you read on. Like I said, I like to read the end of the story. I don't want to give too much away from you that don't like to do that, but read on in chapter 17. The Lord gave occasion for Hushai to contradict the counsel of Ahithophel and actually gave extra time for David to spare his life. So it's all for good of the king, Christ. But Absalom's surprised here in verse 17. And again, here's why I say that there are things that the world cannot understand why we do what we do and why we say what we say. Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this thy kindness to thy friend?" He knew how close he was to David. "Why wentest thou not out with thy friend?" Now again, Hushai is not going to say to him, "Well, I did go, but now David said," no, all of this, because of his love for David, he holds this in his heart. And Hushai said unto Absalom, "Nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide." And again, "Whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have served in the father's presence? So will I be in thy presence." Now, here again, if you look through the words, understanding the heart of Hushai toward David, there's nothing wrong in what he said and nothing that is a lie. Because he says there, "As I have served in thy father's presence, so I will be in thy presence." What he's saying is, "I'm still going to serve your father, even in your presence. As I have served in thy father's presence." His heart was toward his father. "That's not going to change when I'm in your presence." That's exactly what he was saying, but Absalom only heard, "Oh good, he's going to be on my side." But read on, you'll find out that he wasn't. He wasn't. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, now here's where it changes. He questioned Hushai, kind of put him aside, but his heart was really toward Ahithophel. And the reason I entitled this message "Foolish Counsel" is because Ahithophel means brother of foolishness. I pondered as to why a father would ever call their son the brother of foolishness, but that's what his name means. And he lives out exactly what that name means. He says, "Give counsel among you what we shall do." Now, here's where we see the difference, the comparison between Hushai. Hushai did not counsel Absalom in any way contrary to what would be for the glory of David. On the other hand, Ahithophel counsels Absalom in a way of disdain toward David. And that's what foolish counsel is. Anytime that someone gives you counsel away from the glory of Christ and him alone, it's foolish counsel. And you can see here what Ahithophel said in verse 21. Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go in unto thy father's concubines. You remember David had left 10 of them back there in Jerusalem. Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear, look at here, that thou art abhorred of thy father. There is no more dastardly thing that you could do than to go into these who were his fathers and to violate them, not just in a sexual way, but literally raping them, in order that there never again be a reconciliation between you and your father. That's really what he's saying here. You want to seal the deal? Do this. And never again will a father ever, ever think well of you. It says, then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. You think about all that are with thee, because birds of a feather flock together. You want to strengthen people in their evil deeds? Then do this, and they'll all be strengthened to rally behind you. It's somewhat like we've seen in some of these movies, and sadly, more real to life than what we realize, when there is someone that has infiltrated a group of gangsters or mobsters. What's the first thing? If they're questioning a person, they really want to know whether this person's with them or not, they give them a dastardly deed to do. Go shoot this person. Go kill this one. Go rape this one. And if they do it, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, he's one of us. You talk about any that have lived undercover. That's the way to prove that you're one with them. They'll make you do the dirty work. And Ahithophel, this is the counsel that he's given to Absalom to do in such a way. Not pointing him to David's glory, just like none that are left for themselves could ever desire the glory of Christ. And if you don't believe that the works of men's hands are abhorrence and a rebellion against the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't studied the scriptures. But that's what men do. They want to take matters into their own hands, and they do it out of spite for giving Christ the glory. And so, verse 22, they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. In other words, once they spread that tent, they knew what he was up to. It wasn't that these were being exposed out in the open, but that was the purpose of the tent. Everybody knew it. Now, having said that, I have to say that what was going on was exactly what Nathan the prophet said should happen because of David's sin. When you stop and think about where it was that David first looked upon Bathsheba, it was from this very place. So everything comes full circle. And David understood that this was happening because of his sin. If you look back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, just to refresh our memories, when Nathan came to David and told him, thou art the man for his having taken Bathsheba and having killed her husband. Here it says in verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives, these were his concubines, these were his by choice, before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. And that's where David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Now, here's where we have to separate out David as a man versus David as a type of Christ. But where I might see a comparison with our Lord Jesus Christ. David suffered because of his own sin. Our Lord didn't. But he did take upon himself the sin of such as these. And he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, not for his own sin, but for the sin of that people that he came to redeem. So this is what we see, as horrendous as it is. They were doing their will as an abhorrence toward David, and yet all the while they were doing the will of God. What does that remind you of? Reminds me of what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. They did what they willed. But all the while they were accomplishing God's will. That's the mystery of God's providence, that in all things he's going to get the glory, even in this. And you know it was a burden to David. You know it weighed on him, because he knew it was for his sin that this was taking place. But our Lord had no sin. And yet he took upon him the sin of his people, and thereby was called a man of sorrows. And so, verse 23, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, notice here, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Where did they inquire at the oracle of God? It was through a high priest. It was through the Urim and the Thummim. And there were those high priests there in that city, but to none of them did Ahithophel go to seek counsel from the Lord. You say, why not? Well, because his heart wasn't set on the Lord. It's like people today. Why do they find inventions? Why is it that they find every way around but the glory of Christ? It's because that's where the flesh will take them. And yet he was esteemed in the eyes of the people as a wise counselor, even though he was a fool. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, just like Absalom. Absalom standing there at the front of the gates of the city, turning people away who came seeking counsel from David. Turned them to himself. Now he's got a like counselor. You don't have to look far to know if a person is preaching the gospel or not. Just look at those he surrounds himself with. It says everything. Birds of a feather flock together. And so here was Ahithophel, loving this position, even though through craftiness and desiring to have his counsel followed, he set himself up as if he were the king. It says there, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now you have to remember that Ahithophel had been at one time David's counselor. And he had had such success with David, he thought, well, it must be me. I'm going to continue in this role now with Absalom. See, to me, that is so typical of false preachers today, because we have the same scriptures. And there might be times when they light on a verse where they seem to be giving the glory to Christ. And then you go to the next message and you hear them saying just the opposite. That's Ahithophel. Very much like Judas, who feigned being one of the Lord's disciples. And the Lord knew that he was a son of perdition. Had called him for that purpose. Just like Ahithophel here was raised up for this purpose. To walk with David for a while, but then now to counsel Absalom, who was in rebellion against David, but to his own demise. So even though Ahithophel's advice seemed wise at the time, we're going to see later on in reading 2 Samuel 17 that Hushai advised otherwise. That's where this thing finally comes out. We're going to see that. In fact, the title of this next chapter is The Advice of Hushai. This is where he's going to show his allegiance to David. When Ahithophel saw that Hushai's advice prevailed, In other words, the Lord purposed, even though Absalom was tied to Ahithophel, the Lord purposed that Hushai's advice prevail. Ahithophel despaired. That's what people do when they're in it for themselves. It has an appearance of humility and will worship, but not to the glory and honor of Christ. And that's where, when it was all said and done, I'll give away the story, but he returned to his own home, put his household in order, and hanged himself. Just like Judas did. There was no place found for repentance. There was remorse, but no repentance. Repentance is a gift of God by his Spirit. So throughout Scripture, to sum it up, we're warned against foolish and wicked counsel. Beware. Sadly, there are many people today sitting in places of worship under foolish and wicked counsel. They're about making people feel good about themselves, but not to the glory of Christ. I'll tell you, there's only one reason we gather, and that is for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that I can be a Hushai in the midst of a wicked generation when all others are pulling another way. Be that one that says, God save the king. And being given the opportunity to declare who he is, declare him as the king. That's a blessing there. And that's exactly what I desire by the grace of God alone. All right.